Welcome everybody to another installment. This is the Good Bit Podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. We are very, very excited to have you here. And we really appreciate your time here on this fine, fine day, this lovely episode and this really strange summer that we're having. If you're living in the UK, or at least if you're living in Scotland like myself, you'll understand we're having the weirdest summer ever. I'm not one to complain about, where's the sun? Why is it raining so much? But it's literally been every single day in July. It's a little bit sad. It's a little bit sad. Doing something a little bit different today. We're not chatting about one film in particular. We're going to kind of catch up on stuff that's been going on over the past month. We're filming this and recording this in a different room. And I've decided to set up cameras, mics, lights, and all sorts. And it has been an absolute nightmare.
It's so better be a good podcast episode.
Better be a good episode. It's been an absolute disaster so far.
It's not been a disaster.
We haven't even started yet. Well, we have now. But up until this point, hopefully, this is going to be the good bit of the day. Did you see that there? I got so chuffed with myself for doing that. Right, this laptop's going off. I'm using a Mac. I don't know what a Mac is. Iona's using my actual laptop, but she's using the old mic because my handheld mics don't work anymore, apparently. But I'm using my normal mic. All sorts has gone wrong, but I'm joined by Iona again.
Hiya.
You're back after October?
I don't know.
So last time, which is almost a full year. And that's kind of weird, the fact I've not had you back in an entire year. But do you blame me?
No, to be fair, I was a bit... After the episode that we've done, I've not actually listened to it.
What?
I've not.
What type of... How are you
supposed to... I listened to every other episode, just I didn't listen to the one that I was in.
How are you supposed to know what you need to work on? I think it's very important to watch yourself back, listen to yourself back. So we, after all the preparation we've put into here, I would really hope you listen to yourself back on this one.
I will do. I'll promise.
How did you find the podcast last time? Now, we spoke about Don't Worry, Darling. Which was a film that came out in October last year, mm-hmm. I think it was October anyway. Not necessarily your favourite film.
It wasn't, no.
But not one you love, no. But just the one that was relevant at the time.
Yeah, it was one that was just out, so we thought we'll do it on that. Because then it forces me to also see it.
Yeah, well, you were going to see it anyway.
Well.
Films with buzz, you have to see them.
Yeah. But during the podcast last time, it was really intimidating. Because you had like the lights and the camera and all that set up. And your room that I sit and like wake up in the morning and come down and have a cup of tea in. Do you know what I mean? So like try to switch on, it was just strange.
You think that was intimidating? What do you make of this? Because we don't have the big light. I think it's the big light, if I'm honest.
The big light's quite scary.
Because it makes you feel like you're actually doing something like... Or maybe, I mean, you're well lit in your camera, but
know,
in my camera...
Stunning.
I'm sitting in front of a window, which is a big no-no when it comes to... which we all learned on Zoom. In the year of 2020.
Yes.
Yes, it was it was good, but that was a wee while ago. I was on a good roll around that time where I was posting an episode all the time. Yep.
What happened?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Life got in the way. We came back for another season a few months ago, did a few episodes, and then kind of got so busy. The month of June was ridiculous, and so I kind of fell off it again. And now we're back, but we're doing something a little bit different, as I said. I'd like to do some sort of like monthly... installment where it's like talking about what you've been watching, talking about what, you know, if it's TV shows, if it's been stuff in the house, anything you saw at the cinema. I'd like to do that, which might be a good invitation for you to get a cinema card.
It might be. I've told you I would do it. It just cannot become our date night where the only thing we do is go to the cinema.
But I like going to the cinema.
And then I go to the cinema.
No, I understand that. That is a good point. That is a valid point.
You can have a drink of juice.
Can you have a drink of juice? Well, we are sponsored by Fanta.
I just know I open it and it goes...
Of course, yeah. I'm not going to... Oh,
wait. It didn't even fizz.
People who aren't watching, but who are only listening, now know you're taking a drink because you've said it, which is good.
I'm going to edit out me swallowing my juice.
No.
It's going to be so...
Do it right up against the mic.
No, I don't want it. I'll laugh for this.
Right, I'll drink at the same time, right? I'll drink water because I'm a healthy person. Right, ready? Go. 3, 2, 1, sugar. Go.
I didn't get a drink. You're going to make me laugh.
I'm going to make you laugh. Mm-hmm. This is not a try not to laugh challenge, which we would normally do on YouTube. The professional thing would be when you took a sip there for me to talk, to hide that, but I didn't do that. I took a drink myself.
I took a big one. It's okay.
A big slurp. That's a horrible word.
I can't get comfy.
You can't get comfy?
I've not seen it. I've moved.
Well, these are really comfortable seats, but she's literally standing up.
Hold on.
You're wondering why I've never had you back.
I know, I think I've got something, I was going to say ADHD, but I thought you'd laugh at it anyway, is
it? She says that funny, she goes, she puts emphasis on the H, ADHD.
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 I don't actually say it like that, I just say ADHD.
If you, it doesn't matter if you get ADHD or not.
I definitely do. When we were in the pub on Saturday, trying to tell a story. Oh, it took me so long. I kept getting distracted by different people.
In the pub?
In the pub. But I was sitting in the corner looking out at everything, so...
Oh.
No,
sometimes, see if we go out for dinner, I prefer having the seat where you can see stuff, because, like, obviously you can see what's going on, and, like, you don't want to be, like, totally, you know, eliminated from the room, but at the same time, I do get easily distracted.
Yeah.
You know, you're watching people go by the window and stuff, you know. It does happen. It is a real thing. Also, I've just noticed on the Mac here, it doesn't actually tell you how long you've been recording for. Does it tell it on that? All right. So we're just working out the kinks here. And then it will be brand new going forward. We still are going to have guests coming on a lot of the time, picking their favourite film and stuff. I love that aspect of the podcast. Yeah. Probably my favourite part of doing the podcast is, like, getting to know people, making those relationships and those connections and that. So we'll still be doing that. Got a really good one coming up next week with an old pal, Jatinda, who was recently on a show. So we're going to chat about that on the episode, and then we're going to continue on from there. Whether we have a monthly setup like this, I'm going to try and make this easier to do, so we don't need to go through an hour's worth of setup again.
Yes.
But now we've rocked this, so now we know what we're doing.
Aye.
Okay, one of the films that we've both seen recently that we can talk about is probably the biggest film in the world right now.
Probably,
yes. Which is Barbie. I said that so strange.
You said that really weird.
Barbie.
Hey Barbie.
The Barbie film, as people keep saying. Which is definitely taking over the world. It's also, as everyone knows, came out at the same time as Oppenheimer, the new Chris Nolan film, which I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he knew that Barbie was coming out at the same time. I think it was the same day, which is
crazy.
Yeah,
it was the exact same day that the released.
No other film has come out, you know what I mean? Like, Mission Impossible came out, like, the week before, and there's a couple of other films, but, like, those
two... I feel
like
there was no big hype about that.
Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
Maybe because it's just part one.
Maybe, actually.
Was there a big thing about Deathly Hallows part one, or Hunger Games Mockingjay part one?
Mockingjay, yeah. Deathly Hallows, I can't
remember. Must have been for Deathly Hallows.
Maybe.
I don't know, but...
Anyway.
Mission Impossible is still out, I think. God knows how it's going to be...
It's still out.
How it's done. But it's always been this big thing this week or this month, being like, what are you going to go see, like Barbie, Oppenheimer, or whatever. I've seen them both, because I don't pick favourites, okay? I'm not playing for one team.
I've only seen Barbie.
So we're going to save Oppenheimer for another episode. But we both saw Barbie. Tell us about your experience. You've actually not told me about your actual cinema experience.
Yeah, we've got to spoke about it.
With the girls to the Everyman.
Everyman, yes.
How did it go?
That was my first time at Everyman, and it was lovely. We went to the one and... I was going to say St. Enoch's, but, like, that's, like, not true. Where's the one in town? Where is that?
Royal Exchange Square? No, Princess Street?
That
Princess
one.
Gardens?
The Gardens one. In there, and it was lovely. And we went in, and everybody was in pink.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Were you not?
I was, yes. Yeah. I looked very nice. and then we didn't get food or anything. We just get snacks. I got a cocktail.
Cocktails at the cinema is like a very trademark of the Everyman. You feel like you have to do it.
The girl says, you go to see Barbie? I was like, yes. And she says, we've got some pink cocktails that, like, just go with the movie. So I don't know what it was. It was Prosecco. All I heard was Prosecco and candy floss. I thought, I'm up. So we done that, and it was lovely.
Nice.
And then we'd book. Well, there was supposed to be, like, a bigger group of us going, but not everybody could make it. So we had, like, more space than what we thought we would. Had, like,
literally,
full,
like,
row.
Feet up.
Yeah.
You had a full row.
Just the bite, yeah. And it was lovely, yeah. It's just a nice wee cinema.
I've actually never been in that one.
It's nice.
I've never been in that one in the town in Glasgow. I've been to one in London, and I'm sure I went to one. Oh, I'm thinking of the Grosvenor. There's one in the West End. It's not an Everyman, it's a Grosvenor, but it's another kind of fancy cinema with, like, couches and drinks that you can order and stuff. Right. But I loved the Everyman anytime I've been there.
Yeah. I'd do it again. Like, I wouldn't do it all the time for, like, my cinema trips.
No.
Not that I go that much, but...
Well, that's about to change.
I'd say to my sisters, I says it'd be nice to do that at, like, Christmas time for, like, something special and make, like, an occasion out of going to the cinema.
Like, what if they played, like, the Santa Claus or, like, Miracle on 34th Street?
I'd looked at... it must have been last year or the year before. I'd looked at doing the Everyman. for your Christmas.
For my Christmas?
Yeah, to go see Home Alone.
That would be good, but...
Or Elf, I think Elf was on as well, but I couldn't get time.
The question is, was it on Christmas Eve? Because if not, then no. You need to watch Elf and Home Alone on Christmas Eve, that's the rule.
No, I can't, it's my dad's birthday.
That's true. You could take him. You could take him with a happy birthday, Dad, we're going to see Elf.
We're actually going through Edinburgh this year to see Wicked.
On his birthday?
Yeah, on Christmas Eve.
And I didn't get an invite.
No, you didn't.
All right.
Sorry.
That's fine, so cocktail was nice?
Cocktail was lovely. Very sweet. Which, I don't drink a lot of cocktails because I'm not a fan.
There's a flying.
Oh, so I had no idea what it was.
You understand this is audio, so people wouldn't have known I was doing
that. I was laying and I was like, why are you moving?
I was trying to catch a fly, but call me the fly catcher.
Yeah, it was nice. Popcorn was good. And the movie, I cried.
You cried?
I cried.
We've not actually spoken about the movie. We've literally done this old school good bit style where we've both seen the film and not spoken about it yet.
Mm-hmm. I need to try and remember it.
I know, it was about a week. Right, tell us then. So you cried. What made you cry? Cry because you hated it so much and you wasted your time? Or cried out of joy? Cry
imagine, it was terrible. No, I was really excited and like as soon as it started, I was just smiling. I was like, this feels like childhood. And I hadn't heard much about the actual movie. I don't know if you'd heard like people's reactions, but there was so much hype. Yeah. And that's all you would see, like interviews and stuff. But I never actually heard anyone's opinions. And my sister went to see it the night before me? Yeah, the day before. And she came in with some opinion. She was like, I don't know what I watched. I was like, great. So I was like, what am I going to go see? How weird is this going to be? But it was wacky and like just filled with imagination. And it was great. I loved it. And then as it kind of went on, I was like, oh. Oh, I was like, yeah, oh, yeah, say it. And then I was like, I just cried. I thought, yes, you've got it.
You started off just having a good time and then, like, it got actually quite real and deep.
Yeah, yeah. Which, like, some people have said, like, oh, it's just, like, another feminist movie.
Hmm.
But it is, but it's also just taking the mick out of it all. In some ways, like, there's a whole point. And I think, finally, we've got a movie that says what we've been trying to say all along and has like hit the nail on the head. America Ferrera's monologue, her speech, what was her character's name? Like the woman, like the actual real life woman secretary person.
Not a Barbie. Yeah.
Not a Barbie. Her sorry. her monologue.
Bring that closer to me.
Closer? Mm-hmm. Scary. Scary biscuits. Her monologue was really good. And part of me was watching it being like, she's going on a rant.
Mm.
But I was also like, but what she's saying is really true.
Mm.
And yeah, it just felt very empowering. And finally we're breaking the mould. We're not really breaking any moulds. Like, I think they've been thrown away forever.
Mm. But, I don't think, well, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think it's necessarily revolutionary what she was saying. You know what I mean? Like, these things are said a lot in movies and books and stuff, but they've just never been given that attention and, like, pedestal as big as Barbie is. Like, everybody's seen this. So if they're going to try and talk about, like, issues and problems and stuff like that, then what's a better place to do it than, you know, in the biggest film in the world? Do you know what I mean? That makes sense. I was worried it was going to be a bit box-ticky, and I heard a lot of stuff like, people reviewing it being like, oh, well, now I hate men. I was told I have to hate men now. And I was going into it after hearing that, and I was like, oh, man, like, is this going to be the whole thing? Like, I'm going to walk out after being like, oh, well, why did I watch that? You know what I mean? I was kind of hoping the film was going to be for everybody, right?
Yeah.
It turns out it kind of was, right? It was actually, but you're right about it kind of just taking the mick out of everything, but not in a way that was like slapstick. It wasn't like, look at the state of all this. Mm-hmm. It was done in a way that's kind of fun. So it didn't take itself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about really serious issues like women's rights or male-dominated society and stuff like that, right, there's ways that it can be done. And there's ways that it either goes one way or another, either is like really over the top, so you're not supposed to take it seriously and you just think it's a mad joke. And there's also a way that's like shoved down your throat.
Yeah.
Whereas I think this was actually quite good at finding
balanced.
That in the middle. Like, you've got stuff like Will Ferrell and all of the other like white men who were like in his cabin, right? And the idea is like men are stupid, But instead of being like, all men are stupid, they've done it in a way where it's like they're running towards like those wee turnstile things and they can't figure out how to get out, which is a really funny physical comedy thing to watch. So when you're a guy watching it, you're not going, they've made men look really stupid here.
No,
you're kind of going, oh, look at this day. Like, imagine that hand, and you're laughing with it, which I think they did quite well. They are saying, you know, like, why are, like, sometimes, all the time, I don't know, men are stupid, men are silly, but they're doing it in a way that's like, oh, they can be silly, they can be stupid, they're not, like, so I think that was quite good, they've done that quite well. I didn't leave the cinema being like, I feel bad for being a man, which I was worried I was gonna, you know. I had a lot of fun in the film. Like, I'd laughed a lot more than I expected. Like, I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, it was really funny.
It's so my humour too. You know, like Ryan Gosling, who's like always like, not, he's like, takes for pride in me, a very serious performer. He's like, great actor, man. Like, it's, yeah, I speak really low and quiet, and like when I talk, like, you listen to me. Whereas like, he just totally like took the mick out himself, you know what I mean? And that's what you wanted. You see that from loads of other actors, comedy performers and stuff, when they do that, and sometimes it can be cringe and sometimes it's not, but I thought he did a really good job. Like, Steven, he's just like, yeah, I'm a dude, bro, like, yeah, I'm just sitting here. And it's like the way he goes to like the real world and he sees it, and it's, he sees that there's men have been presidents as if that's like a foreign thing, which I thought was really funny. Yeah, there's loads of bits, there's loads of wee moments that I probably won't remember now, but like, do you have any particular bits that stick out in your head that you thought that was particularly good or funny, other than the monologue, of course?
I mean, there was lots of like funny moments. I guess for me, my favourite moments were like the more touching moments, where it was Barbie sitting at the bus stop
with the old lady.
With the old lady,
yeah, very nice.
And calls her, says, "Oh, you're beautiful," and she turns around and says something like, "Oh, I know." And they have this kind of interaction moment. I'm assuming you know, but that is actually real life Barbara, who Barbie was made for. Apparently, this is what I've been told. Mm. Whether it's accurate, I do not know. But that's what I've been told, was the woman in the film, they got at the actual Barbara to be in the movie. And yeah, so that was lovely.
Good.
Well, that's what I was told, so that's why I like that.
Did they not have a moment like at the end or something about that?
And then there was also the moment where this Ruth character comes in.
Ruth
is the lady that actually invented Barbie.
Yeah.
Because she was fed up of young girls just being able to play mum and like have a baby. She wanted young girls to be able to be anything and imagine themselves being anything and being a president or whatever it is. So yeah, and that's how Barbie was created. And so Ruth, that character, that's who that was. And the end moment was lovely.
So the woman that she's speaking to on the bench.
Yeah.
In real life.
In real life, that actual woman, her name is Barbara.
And that's
who apparently.
Was, okay.
Now I'm saying this out loud, I'm like, I've not actually
looked it up. Who told you that?
Cara, who I went to see it with. But she's like credible.
Yeah, there's no reason why Cara would lie.
Credible Cara, no point in you lying.
I think she's so shitty.
But yeah.
Okay, that's a nice moment. I liked not the best moment in the whole film. One of the funniest moments was when like she was having her ugly cry. And then, like, Helen Mirren just does the voiceover. She goes, "Note to filmmakers, Margot Robbie was the wrong person to cast for this part of the film." It was so left field. And it's like, yes, like, as soon as it's getting a bit ropey and a bit samey and a bit over the top, it's like a really funny moment pops up. And you go, oh, yeah, it's like we're supposed to laugh. Like, I thought that was really good. Just the whole, like, way of, like, Will Ferrell and the men trying to get to Barbie Land and all, like, the things you need to do to get there, like, go in the spaceship and then go in the boat and then go in the bus and stuff, that was really funny. Just seeing them all interact with real life. And I was saying this to Sister Rachel. I was like, Margot Robbie, first of all, could she look any more like a real life
Barbie?
You know what I mean?
Like, she's stunning.
It's a perfect casting, obviously. When you look at her, you think of Barbie. But like, before now, her most iconic role, I'd say, was probably Harley Quinn, I guess.
Harley Quinn, definitely.
I first got to know her, personally, and The Wolf of Wall Street is the first time I saw her. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she did other roles and stuff like that, and she was, like, famous from that point. I'm sure she was famous before that. But then, like, she was in Suicide Squad and the Harley Quinn movie and stuff, and I thought that's, like, such a big, iconic role. Mm-hmm. That's probably what she's going to have her bread and butter as, and she's going to be known as Harley Quinn the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Whereas now, somehow, she's gone even bigger than that, and now, in my opinion, unless something bigger comes along, how can this be topped? Yeah. She is now going to be looked at as Barbie for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really she can do about that because she literally looks so like her. But she did a great job. Ryan Gosling, at one point, I said, was my favourite actor like years and years ago. I think I was just trying to say that because he's a good actor. And I was like, yeah, I like Ryan Gosling, man. I'm an actor.
Yeah.
But I kind of fell off because he's a bit dry sometimes. And he does the same stuff a lot. But I thought he was really good. He was really funny. Cameo from John Cena. Did you expect that?
I'm literally watching it. Because obviously it's Dua Lipa, so I was watching, I was like, oh, there's Dua Lipa. And then you go back to Dua Lipa, I'm like, that's John Cena. I was like, oh my God. And I knew Chris had seen this movie, and I was like, Chris, is it going to... Had you seen it at this point?
Yeah, I knew he was in it.
And I didn't know, and yeah. I was like, oh my God, I can just imagine Chris in the cinema freaking out the fact John Cena is in a Barbie movie.
I thought he was going to be in it more. I didn't realise it was a cameo, but then I learned that it was like he just ran into Margot Robbie at one point. Like, they'd worked together on Suicide Squad,
mm-hmm.
and they were catching up, and she's like, do you want to come be a merman in Barbie? And he was like, yeah.
I feel like this is how this film has been made. They've just thought of stuff and went, let's just see if we can do it. Let's just put it in.
Can we get John Cena as a mermaid?
Yeah. Like, they've just went for everything possible. Like,
another thing I was going to say was that I actually know someone that was in the film. Like, someone I went to college with was in the film, which I didn't even realise. Jodie Alexander. Who could be perfectly castable as Barbie. I don't know, I don't know Jodie very well, but obviously, like, we've been in classes together and whatever, like, I've seen her perform in that, and we were at grad ball together and all that stuff. And I've obviously not seen her in years. But there was, like, a moment with all the Barbies together, and I just thought I recognised, like, a face. I thought I recognised someone, but I thought maybe I was going crazy or whatever. But then, like, after, when I looked on social media, I was like, I'm going to check, and I looked on her Instagram, and she's, like, talking about how, like, oh my God, I'm in this film. And she's like, thank you for all the comments, stuff like that. She plays like one of the Barbies. She's in the opening number with that Lizzo song, which, by the way, the soundtrack is amazing.
So good.
There's so many good, like, original songs, but there was also, they used like Cyndi Lauper and things like that.
Yeah, that's what I liked. Like, there was new music, but there's also like your typical like girls' night music.
Those classic songs. The Dua Lipa song was great.
Yeah.
And then, so it was in during the Lizzo song at the start. And one of the lines is like, I wake up and I wave to my sisters or something like that. And like, Jodie's one of the like Barbies. And I was like, I didn't realise it when I watched it the first time, but she'd posted it on her Instagram. So Jodie, if you're out there, congratulations. That was a lovely moment when I noticed you in that. What were you going to say about watching this film?
Oh, about the mother and daughter? Yeah. Well, obviously, I'm one of four girls. And we have such a good relationship with our mum.
Yeah.
That's probably why I got emotional was... There was a line at the end of the movie was, mothers stand still so their daughters can see how far they've come or something like that.
But it was a line in a song or one of the
lines? No, it was actually, Ruth said it to Barbie when Barbie was asking permission to go into the real world. And I, like, that's why I cried, because I was like, oh, I was like, I love my mom. but I don't know how you would feel because you've got a good relationship with your mum, but you've also got a sister as well. So I don't know. If you watched it and went like, oh, that must be nice.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I didn't get emotional, I didn't cry. Because obviously it's not that connection that probably is catered towards the mother and daughter relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's something nice about like a father and daughter relationship as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine dads taking their young daughter to see it. Mm-hmm. And him, the guy being like, I'll take her to see Barbie, like whatever.
Yeah.
And probably being like me and like laughing lots more than expected and be like, this is actually a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that having like a really nice moment, maybe like the dad would cry at that moment. But as you know quite well, I'm not a father.
No. Absolutely not.
But if I was, I'm imagining I would have had the same opinion as I did and the fact like I enjoyed it and stuff. But I feel like that moment was for the mums and the daughters, and that's perfectly fine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that's an interesting point, though. Like, obviously, I've got a great relationship with my sister and stuff, and I saw it with her, but I didn't go, oh, I love my sister. You know, I think that moment was for the mums and the daughters, and that's lovely, you know what I mean? Like, you just imagine mums playing with Barbie with their daughter and stuff.
Yeah.
And what did you make of, like, all the Barbies that were created? And like some of the ones that were discontinued and stuff, they were like, what is she doing here?
That was so funny.
That was really clever.
It was so funny. And like, I did play with Barbies growing up, yeah, but I never had like all these like multiple different and like all the discontinued ones and stuff. Whereas one of the girls I saw it with, Cara, it was like, oh my god, I had that Barbie. Yeah. And, oh my god, remember that guy? And I was like, I don't know. I had like, we had a few Barbies and we had so much. Again, one of four girls, so we had to have plenty. But we also had loads of Bratz dolls.
Bratz was a big thing when we were growing up.
So like we were probably a little bit more into the Bratz. I don't know. I think it was quite even actually.
Yeah.
But I never had like all these different characters and stuff. We had a couple, but yeah. But it was quite funny seeing them. And then again having that narration from Helen Mirren and like them kind of talking about that. It was quite funny. And the fact that Mattel has like approved all of this.
That's what I was going to say as well. I love the fact that Mattel were involved in this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they've got like the Mattel headquarters and stuff. And that's like Will Ferrell's in charge.
Yeah, yeah.
And like she's so confused. Like she's like, is there no women here?
Yeah, can I speak to... There's a line, she's like, can I speak to the boss? Like there's not a female in charge? Yeah.
You're not a big Will Ferrell guy. Big Will Ferrell guy.
No, I'm not.
But like his type of comedy... I really like.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily like Elf, one of my favourite films, Step Brothers, Anchorman. Did you get what they were doing with the character? Did you find it funny or was it just more annoying?
No, I got what they were doing with the character. And like I've seen Elf and I've seen Anchorman and stuff. And it's funny. Like it's funny, but I'm never like...
Yeah, it's not like one of your favourites.
I love that stuff. So I get... That's probably why I've not really... It was a funny movie, but I've not been like, oh, it was hilarious and it was, like, so clever and, like, every man has said. No, I cannot.
Wait, but maybe like, that's it, though, because maybe...
It's quite interesting, so we've actually not spoke about this at all, so hearing what you're getting from it is, like, the funny stuff, the comedy and some moments and, like, the music
and you've got the touching moments.
I'm, like, the touching moments, but also I know that I'm, like, an emotional wreck when it comes to life, so... Like,
no, but that's not it. It's, like, the movie's not made for me.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
That's true. But it's made for everybody.
It's made for everyone, but exactly, but not the message isn't for me. The message, I'd just say, is about that relationship between a mother and a daughter, or a parent and a daughter, I guess. And that's fine. And I'm not one of those guys that's like, I'm not watching that because it's not made for me. Or, for example, if something happens in a movie, say I go see a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Say I go see a brand new Disney film, which I did, by the way, it was called Elemental, and it was amazing. We'll chat about that in another episode. But say that was more of a kind of universal film. See if I go to see the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film that's coming out, right? That's clearly a kid's film. And I walked out and I was like, that was awful, man. It's just for kids. What attitude is that to have? You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm going to come out of that taking something totally different. I'm going to go, the animation was really good and some of the lines were really funny and I can't believe the voice. John Cena's in that too. Like, he's everywhere. Whereas, like, if I was to take my wee cousin, who's six, he's going to be like, that was amazing. Yeah. You know what I mean? And there can be universal films. That's what makes Pixar so successful. You know, there's jokes for adults in there.
Yeah, I love it when it's like it's a good family movie and you watch it and everybody can take something from it.
So yeah, that's why I'm saying I like the funny bits because that's the bits I enjoyed the most in it because that's what I got from it, you know, but I still really enjoyed it. Also, a nice moment for sex education. Did you notice that?
Everybody was in this movie.
So Shruti Gat was in it. Who's the new Doctor Who. Then there's Emma Mackay, who looks so like Margot Robbie.
Yeah, I'm so happy they got her in it.
But they dyed her hair dark and they put freckles on her just to make sure she doesn't look like... Unless she's actually naturally got freckles, I don't know. But they had her in it with Shruti Gatwa and Adam from Sex Education. What's the actor's name?
I don't know.
I don't even have my normal laptop to look up.
Do you want my phone?
It doesn't matter.
I was going to say use your phone, but...
Nah, I'm fine. The guy who plays Adam in Sex Education, he was in it. The guy who plays Gravik in the new Marvel series Secret Invasion, who is such a kind of dull and dry character in Secret Invasion,
plays like
a kind of over-the-top, like, silly character in this. So there was all these moments. But what I was going to say about Sex Education was right at the end, like... I don't know, is it Shruti Gatwa or Emma Mackay? She says something like, I don't have my Ken, or Shruti says, I don't have my Barbie, one of the two, and they can have a moment together.
Yeah.
I wonder if they did that on purpose, or they just put those two actors together.
They two are good pals and have worked for...
They're
like,
good pals. A lot of our target audience for this film are probably going to have seen Sex Education, you know, so I thought that was a really nice moment, a wee kind of like, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
Which I love. It makes me feel clever. It makes me feel rewarded for watching more stuff. I got that. Like, I feel so good.
Another moment was the end moment, which I didn't think much of.
Strange ending.
Right? I thought, all right, we're going to like leave it on a cliffhanger, or it's going to be some really impactful, motivational, beautiful moment. It's like, oh, finally, like it all ends happily ever after, right?
Sets up Barbie part two.
You never know. But instead, it was Barbie going and asking to see her gynecologist, which I now, which by the way, have you seen this Twitter rebrand?
With X? Yeah.
Right. Twitter, no X, Twitter. I don't go on Twitter often, but I was scrolling and it was people talking about how they loved the fact that it was, that was the ending. It wasn't Barbie going to become a doctor and like, which obviously like young girls watching it are going to be like, oh no, I want to go be a doctor.
Right.
It was just like, no, she's like taking care of herself and I mean, you can think anything of it. But in my head, I was like, do you know, it's just a really simple ending, which I quite liked. Sometimes I feel like you try
too hard.
Yeah, you try and give it this big meaningful ending, which is quite nice. It wasn't.
That was a funny moment, but that's not what I was expecting you to say when you talk about the ending. I was being like, now she's in that kind of like empty room and she kind of walks and then it's like almost like she's entering the real world or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a strange ending, but that was funny actually. Like, I'm here to see my gynecologist.
Yeah.
And they mention something about like penises and vaginas and stuff like that. So people keep going, this is not a kid's film. I was like, it's hardly as if...
Right, that was the minute that I think that was a comment that Olivia had made, my sister, when she saw it. She was like, they talk about, Barbie talks about vaginas. So I was going in being like, I was like, what the hell, right? Barbie movie, it's wacky, it's weird, and she's talking about vaginas. Definitely not a kid's movie, right? This is what Olivia said, not a kid's movie. And I'm like, it's literally, what, not even a minute of the film. It's like a teeny toty bit, and it's a joke. Like, it's... I was like, she's just not got this movie. She has to go rewatch it. Go see Barbie again, Olivia.
So there you go. There's definitely moments that I enjoyed that I've forgotten about and I'll probably remember later on and I'll go, oh, I should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I was very impressed, happy I saw it. Could have been one. I could have been like a guy that went, I'm not going to see it, but I'm so happy I went to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to say I enjoyed it more than Oppenheimer. It's totally, you can't compare the two of them. The two is totally different. But you definitely have more fun watching Barbie because it's such a fun movie.
Yeah.
I really liked it. And I would watch it again.
I feel like it's got the potential to be like a comfort movie.
It's going to be a comfort movie. It's going to be like a movie that is kind of not generational, but like a lot of girls that are between the ages of maybe 14 to, you know, our age, 20 odd, like the now, will look back on it.
Maybe it's the new Mean Girls or something. I don't know.
I think it's got to be bigger than Mean Girls.
Like...
How big was Mean Girls when it came
out? Yeah, but not like by numbers. I mean, like...
The one that you go to.
Like, pop culture, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I remember in school, I would be like, oh my God, I've watched Mean Girls. Mean Girls and White Chicks.
Hell yeah, White Chicks is such a good movie.
They're like the two in school I would talk about. I'd be like, oh, I've not seen them.
I'm not old enough to see White Chicks.
I'm not old enough for that one. But I feel like Barbie's got the potential to be that one where it's like a staple of like grown up. You have to watch Barbie.
It was definitely better than the film Grown Ups. But that is one of the comfort films, I guess, that people talk about. But yeah, really enjoyed it. I guess we'll chat about it some more in the future if we're doing this monthly and we remember all the stuff, or if we ever rewatch it, you know, we can mention it again. But I kind of mentioned earlier on about having a really busy month in June.
And you mentioned John Cena.
It was absolutely crazy. Nice segue, Iona. Well done.
You're welcome. Do you know, I was going to mention it earlier on. Sorry. I was going to mention it earlier on and like be like, oh, there's a segue. But I thought, no, we're in a roll top with Barbie.
Exactly. Change the subject immediately. But yeah, we had a wee sort of summer holiday that wasn't sun-based. It wasn't like a sun holiday. It was like a city break in London. Now, I think a lot of people think, oh, what do you mean you're going on a holiday to London? But I'm telling you, London is a holiday. Great city. Lots to do. Lots of stuff to do. Lots of stuff to do for a city break.
Hardly a holiday. We were non-stop.
Well, that's the thing. At the start of June, we went to France. Went to Paris, France. Disneyland.
Yeah.
And
very lucky, by the way. Very lucky to be able to do everything that we've been doing.
Absolutely, yeah. We had a great... You had a great year so far. We're both skint. But we went to Euro Disney, and it sounds brilliant. Like, we're going to Paris. It's going to be a great holiday. Mm-hmm. But so busy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're there 5 days, on our feet the whole time. We had a great time, but it was just a lot of waiting about, a lot of walking and stuff. I think after that, we were like, our next holiday should be really relaxing. Let's go and lie by a pool for 2 weeks. And instead, we went 5 days in London and walked and everywhere and was busy the whole time and stuff. But it was great. We had a great time in London. We saw two very meaningful shows to each of us. One of them was Phantom of the Opera, which was very meaningful to Iona.
I love it.
And one was WWE Money in the Bank 2013, which was very meaningful to
me. Hell yeah.
So we start with Phantom. We wanted to go see the Disney musical Newsies, yes, which we ended up seeing later in the month. But for some reason, it was on break that week. We were down at the end of June. So we ended up going to see Phantom instead. Mm-hmm. First of all, did you enjoy this rendition of Phantom? And why is it such a big show to you? Like, why do you like it so much? Why is this such an important show?
I love the story of it. I can't remember the first time I ever watched or heard the music, but I was young, and I vividly remember, it might have been at like Christmas time, we used to have like a TV room, like a separate room for like the TV, because Mum liked her living room nice and tidy. And I remember coming down, it's like a Sunday or something, and on the TV was 25th anniversary at the Royal Albert Hall, Phantom of the Opera. And I remember watching it and being like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like, this show is wow. And falling in love with it there and then, and just watching it constantly. And then, like, you, maybe me, I listen to a song for ages, then I never listen to it again for like weeks. Yeah. And then I rediscover it. I'm like, oh, I love this song. And I've always loved it, and it's one I've always wanted to see.
And you'd never seen it before?
And I've never, ever seen it live.
Why?
Never, ever. And lucky enough to be. To went to London a couple of times to see some different shows, but never Phantom of the Opera. And when we looked to see if we could get tickets for Newsies and we couldn't do that, next best thing, I was like, oh, Phantom's on, we should go see Phantom. I was also very aware Phantom of the Opera and Newsies are two very different shows, and I was keen to see Newsies with Chris because I thought, oh, it's quite fun, like, whereas Phantom's very theatrical and dramatic.
But I'd never seen it.
And you'd never seen it, you didn't know much about it.
Such a classic, I've never seen.
So yeah, and then we're trying to get tickets, and there was only restricted view seating left, and tickets were still quite expensive. And I was like, I don't want to pay all this money if I'm going to be sitting behind a pillar. So thank heavens, Chris being Chris, and I will give you credit for this one, worked his socks off and found a website. What's it called?
Oh, I don't know, it's like seemyseat.com or
honestly,
something.
Honestly, and you could like click on and put in like the seat number in the theatre, and it would show you the view from the seat and like give you a description of it all.
That people would put out on social media from their seat and then left comments about how good the seat actually was.
Yeah.
And this is like reserved seating, front row seating, balcony seats, but also restricted view.
Yeah.
So you had a bit of everything.
Yeah. So you'd looked and we kind of figured some good seats that weren't too bad. So, yeah, I was so excited.
I was quite happy with the seats, although I will say some of the comments made it seem better than it was. Like, there were a couple of comments said, if you sit here, you see everything perfectly, you just miss a wee conversation on the bottom left-hand side of the stage. And you went, right, okay, well, if it's one of the biggest moments of the show, it's probably going to happen centre stage, you'd think. But it was, like, properly, like, a lot of the left-hand side of the stage was... No, wait, invisible, and we missed conversations. And
well,
stuff.
A big part of the story is the Phantom has got his box that nobody's allowed to go in because that's where he sits and watches the show, and that just so happens to be on the left side of the stage, so we couldn't see that. So, like, during like whatever moment it was, whatever song, I think it might have been Think of Me, I don't know if he appears. I don't know because I've no blood seen it because I didn't get to see that side of the stage, but I think he might come out, and like, we missed that. Like, it's those certain interactions where it just kind of
like, why
adds
were they not
more...
mentioned on that website? You know, that was kind of annoying. But
I was fine for everything else.
The biggest thing that you said was the chandelier. So obviously, I'd never seen the show before. I was like, well, what do you mean? Like, you can see the chandelier for the whole show? Like, what? But it starts off, like, the chandelier's, like, on the stage, because obviously they're mentioned, like, it's, like, set in the future at the start, and it goes back and tells the story. And it's like sparks and stuff like that, and then the chandelier like goes on a zip line and moves from the stage all the way up and up and up, and I was like, ah, now it's like a moment, you know what I mean, that we need to see.
So good.
And then later on, just before interval, just before the end of Act One, there's this moment where like the Phantom is like haunting the theatre, and then sparks fly on the chandelier that's now sitting above the audience, and it's just like, you hear it all the time in like drama school and stuff, theatre magic. Like, it's just how they do it. I love seeing productions in big theatres to see how it's done, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess that's probably the wrestling fan in me that always wants to know how it's done.
Yeah.
What's the backstage story? How does it work? And that's for plays, movies, TV, music, all that stuff. So seeing the actual production of it happen where the chandelier, don't want to spoil anything, but the chandelier kind of falls, if you will, from the middle of the theatre above the audience. It comes back down to its original place at the front of the stage. Mm-hmm. It was done so well. And now I understand why you wanted to make sure we got a good view.
Yeah, it sounds really silly, because it's not as if it moves during the show, but it was just like,
you want
to see the effect of that, because it's so dramatic, and it's such a big, big part of the story, and it's actually based on like a true story, yeah, or true legend of like the Opera House in Paris.
So I don't want to speak on behalf of Iona, but I think the main reason we went down to London, well, we did book the tickets first, but we went to go see Iona's first ever wrestling show.
Yes.
For those who have followed me for any particular length of time, you've known that I've always been a big wrestling fan, been to many, many shows over the years. And Iona obviously is relatively new to the industry.
Yes.
So we went to Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank was one of the biggest kind of pay-per-views of the year, or premium live events as they call them now. And it was happening in London. And we said last year, when we didn't go to the UK show last year, that next time they come, we'll make an effort to go, even if it's just for like the night or something. We booked the tickets for Money in the Bank and the SmackDown show the night before. One thing led to another. We got a really good deal with the room that we were booking, the Airbnb. We ended up going down for the 5 days. That's kind of how it worked. So it turned into a holiday rather than just going down for that show. We bought like a combo deal, combo ticket. So we got SmackDown the night before on the Friday and then Money in the Bank on the Saturday for the same price. And it was pretty cheap for two shows. And I was like,
yeah, so cheap, we went, is this actually real?
Is this actually real? We were like, is this actually a real thing? So I was doubting the whole time, like, what's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? And then, honestly, we get in, show the woman the tickets, and she's like, yep, just keep going up the stairs. You're at the back row. And when I'm saying we're the furthest away seat in the building, we were the furthest away seat. And that's no one's fault. That's nothing like accidentally booked the wrong seats or anything, that's just the ones that we got, you know what I mean? Like, there was no real, we didn't actively go for that pricing or that seating area, we just ended up with the furthest away seats. So it was a little bit deflating watching, knowing that we were going back the next night and it would still be the really far away seats, you know? Yeah. It was still fine, like, we were still there, but you made a good point being like, it kind of looked like you were watching other people watch it.
Yeah, because we were at the, like, it's not as if we were like, oh, just high up. Like, we were, like, the last row at the very top. So you're not in amongst everything. So you literally are watching everybody else react to whatever was happening in front of you. It was just weird.
So because, like, we got them through O2 priority, right? That's why we got, like, those particular tickets or whatever. But because we're O2 customers, we were offered, like, an upgrade of our seats for the Saturday show. And also access to a private bar and two free drinks. Yeah. So we were like, that sounds good. You know, let's make an effort out of it. You know, it's like we're there for the show. We're going on holiday now. It's a big part of the year. We don't mind going a bit above and beyond for this occasion, you know. So we went for it. We got early access into the arena, which, by the way, we ended up in another bar, which we could have been in hours before. We didn't know that.
Yep, didn't know that.
So we're in there, and that wasn't even the private bar in quotation marks that they were telling us about. We then went and upgraded our tickets, and went to the bar that we were given, our private individual bar for before the show. We go in there, we have our drinks, we got our two free drinks, everything was fine. Then as the clock was ticking down and we got time to actually go in for the show, we were then told the bar was closing right before the show. So this kind of took us back a little bit. We were thinking, I thought this was like our bar for the show.
Yeah, well, if you pay for an upgrade and it says, like, what's it called, like a VIP or, like, backstage bar.
Backstage bar, yeah.
We were like, oh, that'll be really cool, like, we'll be able to use that during the show, like, it means we can, like, avoid all the queues outside, like,
don't need a queue for the toilet, yeah.
Yeah, like, it'll be nicer, and so when, like, the guy says, oh, no, this will close when the show starts. So
when the show starts.
We're like, what? Really? Because you pay that money.
You pay for it, yeah.
And you can use it throughout, and we only technically got to use it for
An hour,
yeah.
Yeah. So a little bit let down with that. But then we were let into the show and they definitely did upgrade the seats. Yeah. I've sat front row before at wrestling when you just imagine, like, those are the most expensive tickets, like, front row. You want to be as close as you can. Yeah. But I think you kind of want to be a little bit further back just to just to see everything, especially WWE, where there's like a stage and stuff like that. There wasn't much of a stage for this particular show. They just wanted to get as many audience members in as possible. But just in general, if there was a stage, you want to see it. But we were right behind the kind of main camera that they used to like broadcast the whole thing. And it was pretty perfect. I think it was like the best seats probably ever had for wrestling.
Yeah, they were like ideal. Like, again, my first ever wrestling thing. Yeah. So I wouldn't know, but like you go to different shows and you're always like, oh, you want to be like centre, or you don't want to be like right round the side or whatever. And like we were like bang centre, like slightly raised, so you could see everything clean enough. You weren't trying to look past heads and anything. It was just, they were good seats.
I mean, it happens in every theatre you go to. You go, where would, you know, where's the most expensive seat? Where would be, you know, like, and even them, sometimes, like, say it's like a private box or something up the top right-hand corner that would be the most expensive. They're maybe not the best seats, you know? So you always look for the best seats, and I think we were pretty lucky with those ones. They were really good. How did you find that? How did you find your first wrestling show? Like, did you enjoy it? Like, would you go back? Are you scarred for life?
No, I actually loved it. I think it was quite funny because when I was telling people, oh, I'm going to London, and oh, what are you doing? I was like, oh, we're going for the wrestling. And everybody just felt a bit sorry for me.
I know.
They were like, oh, is he making you go to London for the wrestling?
Some people were like, oh, that's a shame. Or some people were just like, all right.
Or they were like, really? I'm like, I'm looking forward to it. Like, if I didn't want to go, I wouldn't be going. Exactly. You would be going by yourself.
I did like handcuff you and go like, we're going here. Let's go.
But no, it was really good. I think, I mean, I would be a fan of that kind of stuff anyway, I think. And let's get like a bit of atmosphere, I'm there for. Yeah, it was good. And then, because I watch it not all the time, but I try and keep up with it, which is fun.
As a girlfriend should do. Exactly. If your partner is into something.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And it was nice seeing you get excited and you like look forward to it and be buzzing about it. And it was like quite fun, like walking into the O2 and they had all like the big posters and all that up of everything, and you were like, oh my god, look, it's that and this. And then you had all these people shouting like these catchphrases.
I was trying to get
the whole time, and I was like, why are they shouting that? What is that? I was like, these people just like shouting for the sake of it.
She follows it, but obviously not that much. I was like, Sandy, I'll get your picture.
Yeah. It was good though. It was good.
One of the first things you ever told me about you was, like, you like going to concerts, like, you like live events and live theatre and stuff like that. So I was like, WWE is the ultimate thing. It's like theatre, but also a live concert. It's like a live stage show. It's a live stunt show. It's live concert. Like, it's everything.
Yeah.
So, and it was also good that it was, like, a big event where, like, all the big stars were there. It was, like, actual, like, storyline-driven. So it wasn't just, like, for the sake of having a show.
Yeah, I think that also, the fact that it was, like, an actual event. So the SmackDown was, like, that was good, right? And then, obviously, we'd upgraded our seats. So getting to actually watch, like, a premium live event, it was, like, oh, my God, this is what they build up to sometimes.
That was my first one.
This leads up to other stuff. Yeah. And it was cool. And then there was a moment where I'd say to Chris, like, oh, because this is your thing, like, I'll go out to the bar and I'll get the drinks or whatever, like, it's fine, you can just sit and watch it. So there's a moment in the Saturday night, and I said, right, I'll go get drinks, and you'd say, I think you'd say, oh, go the now, because
something
was going to come on, and I didn't want to miss certain parts, so I was like, right. So I go, and it's quite busy, but you hear, like, the bell go, so that's, like, end of the match, like, whatever's happening, and more people come out to the bar. I think I took forever trying to find the ladies' toilets.
Mm.
That was a nightmare. And then, just a quick note. and then by the time I got to the bar, there was a big queue, and I thought, oh, right, okay, here we go. I was like, I'll stand, I don't mind. And then a song comes on. And in my head, I'm like, I know that song. Like, I know what that is, but I don't. Like, it must be something.
I think
something.
I recognise it from the Barbie movie.
I was like, it must be something really cool. And all these grown men go, oh my god! And just sprint back in. And I'm like, all right, so it's somebody. And I was like, I still can't remember who it is. And I felt really bad. I was like, it's somebody big, like, as a wrestler, obviously. But I get served straight away.
Yeah.
Literally, everybody left. I was like, this is great. And I walked back in, and it was John Cena. I was like, oh my god. And I automatically, in my head again, I was like, what's Chris thinking? He's going to be buzzed.
I just can't believe you missed it. You know what I mean? Well, obviously he came and he was still, it was a segment.
Yeah,
was still
sob and say whatever we were saying.
But it was like a surprise segment or whatever, that he wasn't supposed to be there. And then that, I think that was like the, it was at a moment where there wouldn't be much happening, and then like when his music came on, it was like a kind of shock thing that I just think it's so funny that all the men like ran in, like it's so funny. So that was a great moment, and yeah, we had a great time. Went after SmackDown on the Friday night, we had the Five Guys after it. It hit so good.
Oh, it was so good.
And then went and had the McDonald's after winning the bank. We ate so healthily this weekend. and yeah, we had a great time. We met up with ex-Good Bit host Aaron Dockard when we were down there.
Yeah, I finally met him.
Yeah, Aaron and Iona finally met. And we met up with your auntie and my agent, and we had like a proper brilliant week / weekend. We packed so much in, and so much so we went back a few weeks later to go see another show. But we'll chat about that at another date. But yeah, thank you for being my travel partner. It was great.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for paying. No, kidding. We went 50-50.
Felt like it. But yeah, so there you go. That has been an incredibly busy month, an incredibly exciting month with films and theatre and live stuff. And it's only going to get busier as the year goes on as we approach the best month of the year coming up, August. And then we have Christmas time coming up. Can you believe it's happening all over again? We have another holiday coming up in the end of October and November, but this time it is the relaxing sun holiday.
Well,
we hope.
We hope.
We're going with a big group of people.
We're going with my family.
Yeah, it's going to be like 12 of us on this plane.
I don't mean just the sisters and mum, dad. I mean like auntie, uncle, cousin, everybody. So we'll see.
Yeah, and the cousins too?
Yeah, she'll be about 2.5.
So it's going to be good fun. But I'm looking forward to it. So. So next week here on the Good Bit Podcast, we're back with our usual format. We're going to chat to the Jatinder. We're going to chat about his favourite film of all time. Who knows where we're going to go after that. But I'm going to try and have these like wee check-ins once a month. And we'll just chat about what we've been watching, anything else that's on that's kind of big, like for example, Barbie, Oppenheimer. We're watching Succession just now, which has just been a massive show that has recently finished. So by the time that we record that, we'll both try and be finished that show.
Yeah.
And we can chat about Succession.
Well, we both know I will have finished it.
Iona's slightly ahead than me, more ahead than me. Only by like, at this point, by 6 episodes.
I know, but I'm going to go back and watch about 3 episodes.
Because you've waited so long for me.
I've waited so long for you to catch up.
But yeah, lots going on. And we really appreciate your time watching and listening to the Good Bit Podcast, whether it's been on Spotify or Apple or on YouTube in the video versions. People better watch the video version because the tech problems have been driving me nuts. But we're all good now. So yeah, anything you'd like to say to the listeners, Iona, before we wrap up this great podcast?
No, thanks for having me on again, Chris. It's been fun.
I
feel like I've redeemed myself from the first time.
You think you redeemed yourself from the first time?
I know, but I feel like I was just pants the first time. I was about like,
fine. Maybe we should get your sisters on next time.
Do you really want them on?
No.
You'll not get a word in. Ages. Oh, we spoke about twinning.
Oh, well, we'll speak of that next time. We'll speak of that next time.
Podcast, get a shout out.
I know, well, it's something you need to, you're going to be developing. Mm-hmm. So I guess we can chat about that next time.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care of yourselves. We'll catch you all down the road.